Oh, and welcome to a very special edition of The Infused Show. I am joined, as always, by Mike Patterson, Francesca Vavila.
Hello.
Guys.
Hey there.
Welcome to Oklahoma City.
We are here. It is
the land of wind and storm so far.
And changing weather by the minute. Yeah.
Brown grass. No, but good people. So this is a very special edition of the Infused Show. We're doing this on a trade show floor.
Yeah.
We're here at CanaCon, and we wanted to bring you this special episode that's brought to you, of course, by Terrapin Select. Be wise, be well. Visit Terrapin Select for all your health and wellness needs. Now, guys, I thought it was a cool time to do the show, too, because it's March 31st. It's day one of this show.
Mm-hmm.
But today is National Farmers Workers Day, too.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of the people that we're going to be talking to and we encounter, it's just kind of a cool little timely thing.
Yep.
And speaking of timely things, the topic of our show today couldn't be better, because one of the hottest things in this cannabis industry and in the health and wellness industries right now, little cannabinoid that you guys know by the name of Delta 8.
Yep.
Now, here's the thing. A lot of our listeners are curious about Delta 8. I want to know, where the hell did this come from? It seemed like it came out of nowhere.
It seems like it, but it's kind of the same way that CBD entered the space. It kind of came out of nowhere. I think it started with the 2018 Farm Bill that legalized hemp and all of its byproducts. And so people think started with CBD out the gate, non-psychoactive, quote unquote, you know, thinking of it as the, quote, safe cannabinoid to really commercialize on and capitalize on. And then soon after that, I would say 2 years, maybe a year, like you started seeing more individual cannabinoids taking front and center stage. Obviously, before we only knew about CBD and THC.
Yeah.
Now we have CBN and CBG and THCA and all of these other ones, and Delta 8 falls into that, and it was so unheard of because it is derived from CBD. So we couldn't know about Delta 8 until we knew about CBD.
You bring up a good point, though, before I go to Mike. 2018, the passage of the Farm Bill, we know it's tucked in there and protected, and then my best estimate was very late December of 2020. Boom.
I mean, it was later than that. Was it 2020 or 2021?
I mean, and that's when we saw it roll out.
You should never ask me about time.
Yeah, you're right. You're probably right, Nick. You're right. It was out of nowhere. I felt like we were getting a lot of solicitations from manufacturers, you know, in the CBD space with D8. And I know when it first came up, we were like, wow, what is this? And then we realized, and they realized they couldn't sell to us because we're in Delaware.
Right.
But up until that, I had never really seen much about it, heard much about it, and then, boom, it was a really hot new product on the scene.
Yeah.
And so I think, I'm like you, I feel like this came on really fast. A lot of people heard about it. Not many people knew about it, including us.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
We sell CBD products and represent CBD manufacturers, and we were at a loss, which is not a comfortable place to be in.
No, and then you're taking calls all of a sudden and saying, hey, Mike, do you want samples of Delta 8 cookies, Delta 8 gummies, Delta 8? Yeah, and then it was like, oh, my God, we better jump on this, because well into 2021, now it's a thing. Now it's a hot product. And I got to bring this up.
And even in 2022.
Even in 2022, when, by the way, the FDA hasn't evaluated or approved any Delta 8 products.
Right.
The FDA hasn't done shit with anything in terms of cannabis. So that's no surprise there. Delta 8 isn't special in that way. And I am not even remotely surprised. They can't get their heads around CBD. So they are so far behind.
And really, when you think about it, CBD is a much easier product for the FDA to evaluate. And I get the medical claims thing. Any business that touches medical has to be mindful of making medical claims. But in terms of this, the FDA's ability to analyze and study CBD, that's very simple in my mind.
Right.
Versus D8, which is a synthesized product, you know, from CBD, that can be synthesized in a number of different ways depending on what solvents and what acids are used in that product.
So, we definitely need to open that up, Mike.
Right.
I want you to take
Let's
the run
unpack
there.
That.
The by the way, I guess, Frank, this episode is no longer brought to us by the FDA. So, Mike, for our audience, because I know, could you just tell us what this is? What's Delta 8?
Well, I think I'd be happy to talk about what I think Delta 8 is. It's a little bit unclear, a little bit gray in many ways, in terms of, because there is a lot of different ways to synthesize this product. And I think one common thing I hear a lot is, oh, it's a synthetic. It's kind of a tongue twister.
Yeah.
It's a synthetic CBD or THC, and it's not. It's based on CBD distillate that is then mixed and soaked and dissolved in solvent.
Okay.
And then that solvent, then it takes all that CBD and extracts it all into that, soaks it all in. Then that's mixed with an acid, stirred for anywhere between 1 hour and 18 hours, from what I understand and what I'm reading. That is also heated at about 200 to 250 Fahrenheit during that time. And then what you get is like a nice solution that's a acid solvent Delta 8, basically.
Okay.
So now, after that, you have to neutralize the acid out of there and then dry it, you know, clean it, wash it type thing. Then it goes into testing. And the testing's really there to look for purity and to identify any byproducts that will be in this process. So then you can remove the byproducts, and what you're left is D8. Now, the crazy part is there's a variety of solvents and a variety of acids you can use in this process. So depending on what the chemist or doctor formulator selects, it's going to have different variations and different effects on the person consuming.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of the real, at least in my mind, that's the issue for the FDA or any regulatory body for that matter, is there's a number of flavors and recipes that are available, and there's a number of different solvents, a number of different processes, and so there's absolutely no standardization at this point. And I think that's, I think, a real kind of a red flag for the product, and why it's still under a lot of scrutiny and why it's still banned in, what, a dozen states?
Yeah,
it's interesting because there is a big difference between it being a synthetic and it being synthesized. Delta 8 is basically CBD transformed into Delta 8. So CBD, which doesn't get you high, turns into a product that does get you high,
right,
versus creating Delta 8 out of nothing, which is not what happens.
Right.
You know, it starts with the CBD.
Yep. So that's the crux there. We have a number of regulations in place against synthetic cannabinoids.
Right.
This came in, it was protected under that farm bill because the way it's technically derived. But Francesca says something really important I want to make sure we cover for our audience when she brought up the idea of consumers. This is a legal gray area, to use your term, Mike, and there's little to no federal guidance. So we already know, without outing them, I mean, I could, I'm a jerk, but we know that there are companies taking advantage of that legal gray area when it comes to marketing this kind of thing, right?
Sure.
Yep.
Always.
And packaging with, oh, it's barely legal, with a picture of a cartoon bear. Now, come on, what the hell?
Yeah.
We get into fights all the time about, packaging needs to be better, kids can't have it. Well, those companies, man, a lot of people need to be smacked here.
And I think that's one of the real issues, and I understandably or justifiably so in my mind, is because you're taking a product from a base CBD that's non-psychoactive, that users associate with wellness and treating symptoms, whether it's pain or anxiety or sleep or whatever it's going to be. And now you introduce it right next to it, a product that will give you a psychoactive effect without really any understanding or education to the consumer. And so I think that when you have a packaging and you have a product line, I'm used to buying CBD, now I just bought this D8 and now I'm high and I didn't expect to be high. That's what's led to some of these issues that regulators and lawmakers are not happy about. Is they're like, hey, you're taking a product and people are, whether it's giving it to the kids potentially, giving it to the pets, and now that's a problem. And I think there's been a spike in cases, unfortunately, that's really put a black eye on the old D8 kind of brand, in my mind.
And I think it's about, it is up to the manufacturers who work with the packaging. It's up to the retailers. It's up to the people who are creating and selling Delta 8 products to educate people and control those expectations. There is nothing wrong with getting high off of Delta 8. I've enjoyed many highs off Delta 8. They're wonderful sometimes.
Made that plane ride go a whole lot smoother.
But if, like you said, if I bought it next to CBD, I understood what CBD did and its effects on me.
Absolutely.
And I associated you made it equal and was never taught anything different. You've got to manage those customer expectations. The only way to do that is through education.
Yeah.
So it's up to everybody to do a better job educating their customers.
Yeah, and I think that's, I'm glad you guys both brought up that point of association. I think everybody, especially because the people that knew Delta 8 were CBD users, common, mm-hmm. you know, and especially when this thing rolled out. But because we associate one with the other, I'm like, oh, this is safe. And you were talking about, well, I give it to kids, I give it to my dog.
Right.
I give this thing to my puppy, and then I find her upstairs listening to a Grateful Dead bootleg from 74. I want to know what the hell's going on.
That's right. Just her.
And that's Layla.
That's funny.
So let's get to the nitty-gritty, because it's something our audience is going to want to know. What's the high feel like? I'm going to challenge you guys to describe it as best you can. I got our team to describe it, and I've got some fun consumers.
All right. Nice.
For me, it was more mellow. It was, you know what? Let me take that back. It depends on what I took. And to Mike's point about there's a number of different solvents, there's a number of different ways that you can create it.
Yep.
You can tell there are different effects. The first time I tried Delta 8 was with a cookie. It was a cookie like the size of maybe a silver dollar or a half dollar or something. Yeah. And I had half of that cookie. And I was high. It was a solid, good, happy, giggly high. Later, I tried a 25 milligram gummy.
Right.
Way more mellow.
Okay.
Way softer high. And I don't think my tolerance changed that much in between the two. So it really depends. The only thing I would say is I'm highly functional on both THC and Delta 8. I think Delta 8 has maybe a little bit of softer edges, and I
That's
can center myself well,
that is.
Better
the
with Delta
softer
8.
Edges is really, really accurate. That's, I felt a lot of that. I think the biggest thing I noted is it's much more mild. So
yes.
I'd like that 25 milligram gummy. I know which one you're talking about because
yep.
that's the last one I had. That felt like a 10, a THC
yes.
10 milligram. You know, maybe even not quite a 10.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I felt it, but if I took 25 THC, I'd be wrecked. Like I know my tolerance is not where your level is, but it felt nice. It felt like a nice 10. So it's definitely milder, definitely softer. I was pretty mellow, but mm-hmm. it was, you know, like I said, the last one was last week on the airplane, and it was pretty long lasting. That was Philly to Seattle.
It does last
and
long.
And when we landed, I was still feeling it.
That's
yeah.
So rude,
and I didn't
man.
Have any, like, 100 bourbons either. It was a straight D8.
I wonder if there's anything about deliverability with this, because for me, those cookies that Francesca brought up, I took one of those on a train ride to New York, dealing with a little bit of travel anxiety. I was on another planet. Yeah. I was giggling.
Did you take the whole cookie?
No, I took a half
okay,
of the
Okay, that's what I thought.
And I was giggling. I was writing weird Walt Whitman allusions. I mean, I was all over the goddamn place. I'm sure everyone else on that Amtrak was giving me stares. I got some stuff from online. I want you to hear this. This is just an anonymous consumer. I wanted to try it because I heard it was like diet weed.
Oh, diet weed.
Diet
I
weed.
Love that.
That's good.
You like that
Solid.
One?
Solid.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Here's another one, anonymous consumer. It doesn't have the paranoia effects that
Correct.
I found with Delta 9.
Correct.
So I wanted to see what the buzz was about.
Did somebody really write that? That's not marketing?
Because
that's really funny.
Not marketing.
That's good.
That's an actual consumer.
Now, I had a little paranoia.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Not.
Oh,
like,
you did.
I wasn't crawling out of my skin, but I was bugging for about 20 minutes at
yeah.
one point.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a lot of people that say, that, you know, Delta 9 is a that is a neighborhood they don't want to go into again.
Yeah.
So they stick with Delta 8. Would you guys like to hear what the rest of the team
yeah.
from the sales joint associates it with?
Let's
here's,
go.
Here's one from Poet Laureate, producer extraordinaire, Frankie Fifth Year. I said, could you describe the high? And he said, wavy. He said wavy, but I you know, as further
if he crashed on that wave.
As we were going through it, he explained it really well. Kind of hit him in waves, and he said, here's a keynote, wasn't expecting to get high. He got very high, and then here's something, go back to the diet weed thing. Frank says no munchie effect, and I got to tell you, he's right.
That is true.
Wow.
That is
Frank,
true.
Frank, did you get couch locked or anything, or are you pretty... Yeah.
And we got to say to our audience, this is all subjective stuff.
Totally.
But I'm saying I didn't get the munchies. My man Frank didn't get
I
the
didn't
munchies.
Either.
We got people saying it's like diet weed.
Huh. Yeah. It's interesting.
And then the great AK Ashley Laws, she said, and you know this is the God's honest truth. She's like, I underestimated it. It was a full body euphoria, and she wants to warn our listeners, you take too much, you get nauseous.
Wonder how much was too much, because she's got a pretty high tolerance.
She told me that she thought she was on another planet. She
wow.
really, she put
moon
on moon
boots.
Yeah, she put on moon boots.
Wow.
She's probably rocking some David Bowie.
She probably had a bag of cookies.
I was going to say, I want to know how much she ate.
Probably. So we're talking about who's using this thing now. It's people that have previously used CBD, right? So this isn't like something that people are reaching for?
I think so, because I think a lot of people with medical marijuana cards are going for Delta 9 products. And I think that they enjoy the plants. As in plant therapy. I think people who are using CBD, especially if you look at like people who don't have their cards, not in rec legal states and looking for, you know, at least somewhat legal, easy ways to go into a retail place and get that high or go online and get that high. I can see that being
that's
users.
What I see. That's what I'm seeing a lot of, Francesca, is right what you said, is people that are in whether they don't either don't have a medical card or their state has is legal at all. If it's available there, it's kind of like their intro, you know, to it, and it's something they can do. The other thing I see as potentially a nice effect on the THC market from D8 is the fact that I think some people who are hesitant to try THC products can kind of use this as their bike with training wheels almost, and kind of get a vibe. They can still buy it easily. Don't
They
you know,
feel better
okay.
about it.
You know,
for some
I'll
reason.
Pick up some tincture, some CBD tincture, and there's some D8.
Yeah.
And so if they can, if they start getting where they like the gummies, I mean, they have pre-rolls, they have all kinds of forms.
Yeah.
And so they get start comfortable with D8, then I think they might be more likely to say, let's take it to another level and go get some THC and see how that's going to work. So it might
I can
be
see that.
Like an opener for a lot of people.
For a lot
it's
of
really
people,
hard for us to say because it's not legal to sell or buy in Delaware. Like I went into a glass shop to get some new glass and I asked them, I said, hey, do you guys carry Delta 8? Knowing that they're not supposed to. I just was curious if they did or not, if anybody was following the rules. And the girl was like, no, it's not legal to carry here. I was like, oh, okay, thanks. And she like kind of paused and nobody else was in the store and she was like, if you ask three more times, she's like, the answer might be different, but it can't be this time.
It's
and
in
I was
back,
like,
next
oh.
to the kratom.
Oh, the kratom. You guys got to go back in the archives and check out our kratom episode. Don't bother. We didn't friggin' do one. but it's funny. You both talked about places with restrictive cannabis laws. I like that stat that I shared with you guys, which said it's funny that 80% of these users are cannabis users with Delta 8. So it's like there's something about this high. We have a lot of people in cities. But what I thought was really interesting, average age of the Delta 8 user, 34. 53% are women.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I think it's also, you know, I guess that doesn't mean much except unless you compare it to the percentage of women versus men for Delta 9, for THC products, you know, like because I think women are a growing demographic for Delta 9. And so it wouldn't surprise me if those numbers are pretty similar.
Yeah.
You know, if it's 51% or 48% of Delta 9 and 53% of Delta 8. But I'd be careful to say, like, oh, well, maybe women feel more comfortable with it because I'm like, that sounds sexist to me. Like, it's a softer, feminine way to get high. That's bullshit. No.
Yeah, this thing can knock you. So I want to make sure that.
But I wonder if it's like kind of a soccer mom thing, or like the moms who don't want to go into a dispensary, or you know, like if there's some more, if there is more social stigma for moms for women around using cannabis, and so they can use Delta 8 without that stigma. That would not surprise me.
Maybe.
The other part too is like, you know, talk about users and stuff. You're avoiding a lot of tax. You're not under getting
that's
the
a
state
great point.
Tax that's on THC when you're buying Delta.
Oh, shit.
That's
a
so there's
point.
Another like reason this is growing with a lot of THC D9 users is like you can still get a really good buzz for a fraction of the cost when you start knocking off, what, 20%, you know, something like that of tax that's sitting on top
you
of
just
it.
Blew my mind.
So
I didn't
that
even
could
think
be
of that.
One thing that's driving the stats and purchases is in rec legal states or medical states are people moving that's maybe utilizing D8 in lieu of THC because it's
could be
more economical. I don't know.
Or they hit their limits for their purchasing.
Yeah. Bridging.
Yeah.
Well, if we're looking at the why, and you're both bringing up the why people are going to them, to this kind of product, we all said that we were using this while traveling. So it's got to be, there's got to be, like, are people using this to treat things that they would take a pill for in the past?
Right.
I think so. I think it's the same. I think it's more likely to maybe replace or supplement D9 or CBD, and then those are already replacing or supplementing pharmaceuticals. So okay. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
If you're, like, instead of a Xanax, you get a Delta 8, or instead of your blunt, you get a gummy of Delta 8.
The other thing, you know, you mentioned about replacing. One thing I noticed with the Delta 8, I didn't have any residual or after effect that was problematic.
Did you with Delta 9?
No, but I'm saying, like, Xanax or something replacing.
You're right.
Not opioids, prescription over the counter. It kind of was like, done, moved on, and then I was like, damn, it went away. Where's the rest? You know?
It is, you know, the safety, though, because of the lack of regulation, because of the different ways that it can be made, because you don't know who to trust. I mean, go back to the beginning of CBD and why, you know, terrapin was found. It was like the idea behind, you don't know who to trust. There's too much out there, too much noise, a lot of marketing, no education, no clarity, so no standards. So there's nothing unsafe about Delta 8 done right. There is something unsafe just or risky about shopping for Delta 8, because what does it mean to do it right if you don't know that and don't know what to ask?
You really hit the nail on the head there, Francesca, because I'll take us back to a month ago. We were at a show, and there was a Delta 8 manufacturer near us. And
first
question you asked is, what's your process? How is this
made? How do you
made?
Extract this?
And she couldn't answer
one question. I
don't
know. I'm just a salesperson.
I don't know. Well, we have a doctor, and he's awesome. And so I know it's really good.
No, come on. We're done. That's
good,
right?
You need that blinking guy.
Yeah. I've got a doctor.
Yeah, I've got a doctor. And so that was their, I'm supposed to feel good about that? Hell no.
Yeah, he's a doctor of literature.
Doctor who? Doctor feel good?
You know, Dr. Oz?
So there's a lot. You hit the nail on the head when you talked about safety and education and standardization.
Yes.
Like, those things have to go hand in hand for this really to work long term, and for legislators and state, local, federal, whatever it's going to be, for them to accept it, for more states to allow it. Those things have to be standardized and really come to grips with about what's this going to look like for a product in this industry.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I want to make sure we cover that, because we kind of pride ourselves on that, of being as honest as we can be about the state of the industry and the topics we talk about. I want to make sure that we come in here and say, here's some good and bad. Here's the pro and the con of this thing. Mike brought up one that just, like, smacked us both. It was like, man, there's much less of a tax burden, and we see how that's passed down. What other good things are we getting from Delta 8, Francesca?
I think it's always interesting to see that this plant, that the cannabis plant, in all of its forms, has more to offer than what we have access to right now. So to me, that's the biggest win. It's not the Delta 8 win, it's the cannabis plant win. And that plant therapy has so much room to grow and so many avenues that we have yet to explore. So that's what's exciting to me about Delta 8. Delta 8, it could be good, it can be bad, so I can't really speak universally to it. I enjoy it. I've partaken in it without the education, for sure, and felt perfectly fine, but it's the cannabis win for me. It's like, what else can we do? It's also a slippery slope. When we synthesize something from the cannabis plant, are we doing right by it? So it opens up more conversations, more scientific exploration, more opportunities for consumers, for producers, for science.
Mike, I want you to give me a positive about the Delta 8.
The evolution of the plant is really, really head and shoulders a great answer. The other part of it for me is just availability. You know, if you look at it, it's available in 38 states.
Sure.
Right now, in and around. Maybe something's changed, but I think it's about 38 states. And cannabis, THC, is not available in 38 states right now. Mm-hmm. So I like the availability and being able for the plant to reach more people and to offer more solutions medically, recreationally, however people choose to use that.
Yeah. And since we're talking about National Farm Workers Day, stat that I brought up in pre-show from January of 2022, for our farmers, Delta 8, they're getting $1,400 per kilogram for Delta 8. CBD isolate right now is $550 per kilogram. So it's offering farmers a way to make a little bit more cash right now, too.
Yep.
And so that's one thing.
Is it farmers or processors that would be making the money? Because they're still growing industrial hemp, right?
Yeah,
I guess it depends.
I guess it depends on what that farm is doing with their license.
But economically, you're right. There's that benefit.
Yeah. So I want to make sure I brought it up. Now, give me a con. What do we got to watch out for?
I think the con to me is just the education to understanding and people having all of the information available to them is one con because it's just not there yet.
Yeah.
I think a con would be you get one manufacturer doing it the cheapest, sloppiest, worst possible, unhealthy way to do it and mass producing some product that people ingest and either get sick from. You are back to vape gate and Delta 8 gets demonized across the board universally. So yep. I think we have to be ready for that turn.
That's a great talking point. We would be right back to the 2019 vape crisis just due to one bad formulation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, we don't have enough research, as you guys both brought up. Lack of research adds to a lack of consumer trust after a while and after a lot of stories get out about what it does to you. So I'm going to ask you to take that crystal ball. 6 months, a year from now, what's the future of Delta 8? Do you think that regulation is going to be tightened, or do you think you're going to see it opened up, Mike?
I think the federal government, state governments are going to try to tighten it up. I think they're going to try to want to get tax on it, is what I see. I think it's going to be driven by they're missing out on tax. So I see it being treated like THC in 6 months.
6 months out, THC part two. What do you think, Francesca?
I can see that. I can see tighter restrictions on it before I see looser restrictions, for sure. And I think tax is such a great point, Mike. I also think I think you can also get to the point where people are like, you shouldn't be able to get high on over-the-counter products, so let's pull this. Like, if that's the issue, then Delta 8 goes bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right. Those are two really, really good points.
What do you think? What's yours?
I tend to agree with you, Mike, that 6 months out, we might see this thing tightened up a little bit more because you kept bringing up, I think we can look at, my headphones are just messing with me today, everybody. I think you can look at, you know, we both are looking at figures, like, is it legal in 12 states or 14? Well, there's these two states they don't know yet. They're going to regulate it, but they haven't But I think 6 more months to a year, we're going to see it treated the same way we see cannabis treated.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's going to be a cry of joy or a cry of what the, you know, at that point.
Right.
But that's where I see it going.
Okay.
Yeah. So I know the dance card is full on the day. So I really do want to thank you both for doing this episode here at a show. I want to do this again.
We definitely want to be doing this again.
Anytime, any place.
Yeah. All right. This is great.
I'll tell you what, I like doing it at the show because it's fun seeing all the people come by,
for
taking pictures,
yeah,
like there in
giving
the video.
Us the finger. They're always doing that. No, it is fun, and there's a lot of energy, and we tend to feed off it, and we kind of, you know, show what we do. So we're going to spend some more time here at CannaCon, but I do want to thank you both. I know your dance card's filled for the rest of the day.
Yes,
Francesca is speaking at 2:30.
2:30.
So we're going to be
room one.
In attendance, cheering her on.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Mike, Francesca, thank you both so much. I really appreciate
it.
This was a great episode. It's a useful episode. To our listeners, the great Delta 8 debate here on The Infuse Show, brought to you by Terrapin Select. The Infuse Show from Oklahoma City.
Wow.
So the next time we see you, it'll be from Delaware. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
Hey there, my name is Leah Babrudi, and I'm the founder and host of Canna Chicks Podcast, where I discuss cannabis, psychedelics, and other natural medicines. I not only interview people who use them as treatment for different conditions, but also the entrepreneurs who share their knowledge on how they built their businesses. If this sounds interesting to you, give my show a listen. I'm sure you'll learn something that'll surprise you.